I want to greet the people who are watching from home online. We thank you for your presence. And when you're able to come, we'll be glad to have you. I can tell you that a few people still wear masks, and many people feel the freedom not to. So we're ready for you to come, and whichever feels comfortable to you is fine with us. We're not going to judge you one way or the other on that. But we would appreciate if you would, like, sign in. And you've already kind of done that with a little piece of paper. Just say hi. Don't be afraid to take a stand for Jesus by letting people know that you're there watching. And wish us greetings or something so we can have a little bit of interaction and fellowship in there. And among other things, of course, we want to represent the size of our church to anybody that's thinking about coming to our church. And so we tell them how many people are here, and we tell them how many people are watching online, but we only count the ones that say, hello, I'm here. We're not just going to count views, because a view could be like 2 seconds, and that would be like inflating our size. But we normally have 5, 10, 20 people that sign in, and we count you, and we tell that to people that are making plans and budget makers and folks that are considering coming to this church so they can know what size are they praying about working at. Now, we are in Malachi chapter 2, and thank you for that reading. The question I'm asking here is, how serious a matter is it to be a Christian, represent Jesus to the world? How serious a matter is it to be a Christian and to represent Jesus to the world? To some people, it's very casual. Anybody can do it. You know, you can kind of make your takeout order at a burger joint and become a Christian kind of in between ordering and getting stuff. It doesn't take very long, doesn't require very much. We're just looking for people to join the team. You're a fan of Jesus, rah, rah. I think the Bible says something a little different, and I think that Malachi helps us with that a whole lot. 3 points from Malachi and one from 1 Peter. And the first one is that the priests, we're talking about the priests in Malachi. We're still talking about the priests, the professionals. And they must obey God or face consequences. We see that in the first 3 verses. They must obey. The priests must obey or face consequences. I wanted to throw this picture up just so you can see what they look like. Something's changed a little bit in a couple of thousand years or so, 3,000. That's what the high priest kind of looked like, that guy on the right. And the regular priest looked like the guy on the left. Today, you can dress anywhere you want. If it would not displease my wife, I'd like to come in here in blue jeans and a t-shirt sometime just to keep you used to the idea that I don't know who the next pastor's going to be, but he's probably not going to dress like this with a coat and tie every week. But I do this because my mother-in-law and my wife feel God is honored. And so I honor them by doing this. You wouldn't want to see how casually I would dress if nobody minded. And you can tell me you don't mind, but I need to hear that from my wife. Because she's the one that keeps me, at least people thought I was a pastor at one time, and it's partially due to her hard work. So those are the priests. Now, I want to look in verse 2 and see if you don't listen, if you're not going to take this to heart, you can't check off and say, yeah, I heard it. Take it to heart and live it, obey it. If you don't do that, then highlighted. Now, what's the then? I normally pry all these things out for you, but I want you to do it this week. So there's a condition here. You've got to listen, you've got to take it to heart, you've got to obey it, or something is going to happen. I'd like you to open your Bible and find out what it is. Now, don't have a heart attack. I'm not going to ask you to say something. But I'd like you to find a Bible. If you brought a Bible, please don't fake me out with a cell phone and then play games. I guess you could do that. Maybe you're doing it already. There's a book right in front of you in the pew. There's always 2 Bibles in every pew. Somebody's making that happen, I trust, I hope. I used to make it happen, but I don't do that anymore. There's a Bible there somewhere, and I want you to find Malachi if you've not already found it. You're going to have a lot more fun if you look at this in the book. If you don't have a book, just pray for all the people that are looking, and once they start giving answers, you can think about the answers and meditate on that. So find Malachi. Malachi, if you open the Bible, Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. If you open the Bible in the middle, that should be Psalms. Okay, if you open on the right side of the middle, so you take that right side of the middle, right half, open that in the middle, it should open, I didn't even test this, but it should open around Matthew. Matthew is the first book after Malachi, so just back up a little bit, Malachi. If you run into some really unusual names that you're not sure of, like Haggai and Zephaniah and Zechariah, just go to your right a little bit and you'll get the Malachi. They're very, very short books. Get the Malachi. Find Malachi. Find Malachi. Yeah. I'm looking at it and it says it. That proofreader, I don't know what I'm going to do with him. It's me. How many other times did I do that if I had that on my mind? All right. And so what I want you to do is I want you to look at Malachi. It says here it's going to be in verses 2 and 3. I want you to look at Malachi 2 and look at verses 2 and 3 and see what are the consequences. If they don't listen, if you don't take it to heart, what's going to happen then? So you just look a little bit. If you've got your notes out, I left plenty of space in there. You could actually write a few of them down. This is actually more fun than listening to me. Write down some of the things you find. If you're a child and you're able to read, write it down. If you can read and write. If you can't read and write and your parents are there, maybe they'll read it to you and you can tell them. If you find a consequence, what's going to happen if you don't listen to God, if you don't obey God? What are some of the consequences? And so write that down. Underline your Bible, find one out. If you're completely done, you can look up at me and I'll know you're done. Some of you are looking up at me because I haven't given you permission to start. Start. All right, fast one's already found some stuff. Okay. I am going to ask you to tell what you found to somebody. Find something. What are the consequences? What's a consequence? Not hard to find. What's a consequence? Verse 2, verse 3. So now what I want you to do is I want you to turn and face somebody else. So if you're like by yourself, you're going to have to look at somebody. And I want you to tell them one thing you found, and they'll tell you one thing they found. Look at somebody and tell them something you found. What's a consequence? Oh, you're also so soft and gentle. Thank you. I like it. I think most of you found something. Or you're all going, blah, 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 blah. That's good. If you're at home, I hope you did that. You look it up and tell somebody else that's there with you. So Linda already told Nan, I'm sure of that. All right. And so let's just see, did I find anything? Verse 2 talks about there's a curse. You'll be cursed. You don't want to be cursed. You don't be cursed by God. You don't be cursed by, that's bad stuff. You can lose your blessings. You don't want that. Verse 3, if you're young, it doesn't bother you a whole lot. But if you're a little bit older and you're thoughtful, even if you're college age, you might think about this. Someday God might give you children, and the people that follow you are going to suffer too because of you. Some of you suffered earlier in life because of your parents. And your grandparents. You got to get over that. Carry it on your own shoulder, but you got a rough start to life because of them. The next generation can suffer because of your disobedience. That's very sobering, especially if you're a parent or a grandparent seeing it still happening. All right, so now how did this start? Here's Levi's example. Levi was the first of the priests, and all priests had to be from the tribe of Levi. He is not the person that invented blue jeans. That's another Levi. Levi's example here in verses 4 and 7. This shutter here, I'm just looking to see. Malachi chapter 1. I bet I did it the whole thing through. Oh, my goodness. This is terrible. I've been doing too much this week, I guess. I don't know. I went to a funeral yesterday representing the convention, a funeral of a man who had pastored 58 years. It's a decade more than I did. I'll use that as the excuse. I was just intimidated and old. I goofed up. I bet the whole time I did that Malachi 1. Somebody send me a note. Make sure you correct your slides in case I ever use this again. Probably get 10 notes. Levi's example, verse 4. So shall you know that I have sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi, what's a covenant? Covenant is a promise, an agreement, a deal, like a contract. And so with this first priest, now we're talking about the priest in Malachi's time, but he goes back to the very first priest, your founding priest. If we're talking about presidents, that's George Washington, you know, our first president. Talking about priests, it's Levi. And God had an agreement with Levi. And he had to obey God. And if he didn't obey God, there'd be consequences. And he did obey God. And when he obeyed God, what examples did Levi set? And so this is verse 4. So you're going to be looking in verses 5, 6, and 7. It's in your notes. And I want you again to open your Bible, look in there. If you're taking notes, write down as many of them as you can find. I'm going to ask you to share it with somebody eventually. But wait so they have time to find it too. And then I'll tell you if I found anything. So look, and I'm going to ask you to tell them a little bit later on. What were the examples that Levi said? What are some of the things? This is good stuff. Before it was bad stuff. What's some of the good stuff? Gosh, if you're writing notes, you know, you could preach this whole thing to somebody else. You could teach them better than I. What are the good examples of Levi? He obeyed God, and what did he get for that? I'll give you a hint. There's more than one in every verse. 5, 6, 7. Find something. Now you just could look at me. You'll be bored. Oh, you're all working. Thank you so much. You're working hard. Finding the examples of Levi. I got the opportunity to teach part of a class on Bible study techniques this year in the church. Somebody asked me to do it, and it was so much fun. Listening to the students share what they learned. They were so excited. But aren't you too? When you find something in the Bible on your own, aren't you so excited? I found that. I learned that. Yes, that's great. All right, so here's what I see. Oh, so right now, find a person. If you're a little bit apart from people, you got to work a little bit harder. Find somebody to tell what you've learned, just one thing, and something, listen to what they learned. So tell them. What did you learn? What did they learn? What was his example? Yeah, tell Heather. Yeah. That's good. That's good. Finding people you can tell. You know, when you go home, the best part of the sermon today would be the part when I was not talking. And you learn from the Bible. Isn't that fun? Gosh, we should do this every week. I'll just stand up here. I'll give you some verses. You can tell me we're fine. And I'll take notes and I'll have a message. Okay, because it's exciting to find stuff in the Bible. All right, here's some stuff you could find. He lived life. He enjoyed life. There's a lot of people that are bored. Oh, my lands. One thing I don't like about the young generation, they know how to say, I am bored. Oh, goodness gracious. Talk about self-centered people with no purpose for life. I cannot identify with that. I am bored with all there is to do in this life and in this world. Levi was not bored. He enjoyed life. He had peace. He feared God. That's a reverential fear that, you know, I'm concerned. God's big. I don't want to be found not honoring God. He stood in awe of God. We say, oh, this is awesome, that's awesome. God is awesome. Verse 6, he taught the truth. How refreshing is that? In this postmodern generation, you know, society tells you there is no truth. I mean, that's your truth, this is his truth, this is my truth. There is no absolute truth. And in fact, they make that an absolute, that there is no absolute truth, which, of course, is self-defeating because there cannot be an absolute truth if there are no absolute truths. Oh, my goodness. There is truth. It's God's truth. And Levi taught God's truth, and he lived a holy life. But I love this. He impacted others that were sinners and helped them to learn how not to sin. That's what we do in Celebrate Recovery. We help people learn how not to sin. That's what we do in Sunday school and Bible studies and Awana and small group. I think that's what we're all doing. We're not just there like to try to pretend that we're smart people. We're there learning how to get close to God so we can conquer sin. That's a hard one. And once you learn how to have victory over sin, then you need to rescue others, even as you still are having victory over new sin. And then verse 7, he knew and he passed on God's message. So what are you doing today? You're finding God's message. You're looking in the scriptures. You're finding what God says. And some of you have been doing this longer than I have. Well, that'd be only a few of you. But some of you have been doing it for a long, long time. You're trying to find what God's message is, and you're passing it on to others. And that's what AA says to do. That's what Celebrate Recovery says to do. If you find a way out of whatever hole you were in, at the end, the 12th step is, having had this experience, you've learned things spiritually, how to depend upon God, you turn around and help somebody else. What, was it all about you? No, it's all about God, and you have found him and know how to live for him, and now you want to love him and not go and say, do this, do that, do the other, come here, go there. That's not what you're doing. You're loving them the same way that God loved you so that they can understand God's message too. I share God's message up front this way. Your Sunday school teacher shares in a different way. That's a very, very small part of you and I sharing God's message, isn't it? And he shared it. He passed it on. But I want to put, I mean, he instructed them and he modeled it. That's what they were supposed to do. And the priests were supposed to teach others how to model it. And it passed on not his message. You know, I've got to find my message. I've got to find who I am. No, you want to find who God is and who God's called you to be. And you want to find what are God's messages, and you want to share that with other people. And it starts with the people that you're with right now. If you're with family, it starts with them. You know, so how many children are teenagers? Raise your hand. That means you're 13 to 19. Raise your hand if you're not 13 to 19. I got one, two, three. Okay, four. Okay, all right. Got a few of them. Got a few of them. All right. Teenagers. I think I said got one teenager that's going incognito here. And I'm going to tell you, to your teenagers, some of you, how old are you, Caleb? 17. You only have 1 year left to raise your parents to love God and serve him well. I used to give that message always to senior high. It messed with their mind. What do you mean, raise my parents? Well, what teenager doesn't think they're smarter than their parents? By the way, your parents, when you get into your mid-20s, you're going to find that they're a lot smarter than you thought they were when you're in the teens. But hey, let's just turn that around. If you know some things your parents don't know, or you've figured something, I mean, when I was a teenager, I started a Bible study for my parents. I did. They weren't in one, and I thought they should be one, so I started. I said, you want to have a Bible study? They said, yes. Who would have thought? You know, I did scripture memory with my parents. I did it because I had somebody else do it with, but I did it so that they would be doing scripture memory. I mean, Caleb, you only got 1 year left, then you're going to leave them. You know, I hope that you've done a good job. It's going to be less than a year. It's going to be more than a year. It's going to be more than a year. That's right. You've got one more year before you're leaving, but, you know, 18-ish, you're slowing down your work by then. You're almost retiring. And teenagers, you've only got a little bit more time because you know your parents aren't perfect. You've got to pray for them and love them and help them. And of course, parents, obviously we can turn around the other way. Your children and grandchildren, you've only got a certain amount of time. But our church continually, I love it. Thank you for continually bringing around new children. I don't know where they come from, but they keep coming, and that's good. We've always got more people to influence. We've got to find God's message and pass that message on to other people. Well, at least that's what Levi did. That's one of the things that Levi did. Now, Levi did that. He was the first priest. Were the priests doing that that Malachi was talking to? You know the answer to that. The priest's example, it was a lousy example. And you can tell it. I only copied down two words, the first two. But you. Remember what but does? That's an opposite. Well, I had a $100 bill in my pocket, and I was going to give it to one of you, but I decided not to. You're not going to get the $100 bill. Actually, I don't have one in my pocket either. You know? I was thinking about asking you out to the prom. I think it was about taking you to dinner. You know, we were going to have this great vacation, but oops, not happening. I had always planned such and such, but I was going to be a preacher, and we planned this. I've got the design for the building still. We were going to do 2 500-person worship services every Sunday morning here. It hasn't happened yet. We were planning to do it, but God had other plans, you know. We thought it was impossible to impact those people over in West Africa that had been Muslims for 600 years, but God did something anyway. It's the opposite. And that's a good one. This is a bad one. This is a bad one. What's the priest's example? But you. All along here, where I've got Malachi 1, you know, boy, that poor guy, it's a good thing we retired him. It's Malachi 2. You know that. That's okay. I'm fallible. That's okay. I found that people really like knowing that the pastor is fallible because it doesn't make them feel so bad. You know, I'm an example, but not that good of one. All right? Well, it does upset me too, but it's all right. It's all right. I think it's all right with you. They keep letting me stay here. The priest's example, but you. So in other words, it's the opposite of Levi's example. I want you to look in verses 8 and 9, and you find what's the opposite? What are the priests like? What example? Levi was this great guy living peace and telling the truth and all that. What are they doing in verses 8 and 9? Find at least one thing, write down one or two or three or four things. Several things in verse 8. One very, very contemporary thing in verse 9. Good Bible students you are. There's not as much in this one, is there? Okay. So they're a bad example. We already know they're a bad example. They're accepting blind animals with broken legs, sick, roadkill, and they're saying, that's okay, just give it to God. They're a bad example. But verse 8 or 9, turn to somebody, even if you have to. Find the people that are distant. Find somebody and tell them what you learned and hear what they learned. You know, you may not remember anything I say, but I think you're going to remember at least the rest of the day what you've said. You found these things yourself. You found them. And somebody's going to ask you, what did you learn from the pastor? I didn't learn anything from him, but I learned from the Bible today. It was fun. All right. And so in verse 8, they turn from God's way just completely. This is repent, a reverse repentance. They're repenting away from godliness. They taught others to sin instead of teaching them holiness, which they're supposed to do. They modeled impurity and sin. They taught others to sin. They completely corrupted the covenant, the agreement with Levi. Oh, I was going to see if anybody picked it up. Did anybody pick it up in verse 9? Partiality. What is partiality? It's discrimination. I tell people that's not here. I mean, maybe we fight it somewhere. I'm looking today. I think we're mostly white here. We love our black brothers and sisters. If you're black, I'd say we love our white brothers and sisters. And we've always got some Asian and occasionally some Hispanic. And I wish we had more different ethnicities. We've got some. And that's kind of cool. We can't look down on other people that are different. That's what we like to do, look down on other people. If you're short, you look down on the people that are tall. If you're tall, you look down. Well, you look down on them in your mind. And if you're, you know, if you highly educated, you look down on people that aren't as educated. If you got common sense, you look down on those smart people that got no common sense. If you know how to really use your hands, you look down on people that don't know how to use their hands. Left, you know. If you grow well, you look down on people that don't. Well, everybody could do that. Yeah. Some churches look down on any church that's not like this one. Well, this is the best church, of course. But there's a lot of great churches out there. I said that in tongue in cheek. There's a lot of great churches out there that are different, and it's all right that they're different. We don't want to look down on them. Eventually, they'll figure that the right way. I say tongue in cheek. Discrimination is wrong. They discriminated, and it was wrong. Now, here's an amazing truth. What does Peter say we are called to do? And you all know what our calling is. And if you don't, you can find it in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 to 9. Now, you can keep looking things up if you want to. I actually don't have another season where you're going to be forced to study and share with people. And so now we just sit back and relax if you want to. And I just want to point out to you, in 1 Peter 2, 5, it says of Christians that we are called to be a holy priesthood. That does not mean that you get a fancy uniform. That does not mean you're going to sacrifice goats or sheep. But it does mean that you need to learn who God is. And that you have an example, that you have the duty to be an example to other people of what holiness is, of purity, and to help others to learn how to do that. And notice, not just a priesthood, but it's a holy priesthood. The priests in the time of Malachi got that wrong. They were everything but holy. To be a holy priesthood. And further in that verse, to offer spiritual sacrifices. Lots of people have got lots of understanding what spiritual sacrifices are. I should give that to you as your assignment. Find out what spiritual sacrifices are. I'm going to give you just two. You'd have to write this down. I didn't stick it up on a board. Hebrews 13:16, because there it says that these are acceptable sacrifices to God to do good. Someone might tease you if you're a goody two-shoes, but God is pleased if you do good and if you share with others. Our church desperately needs you to be as generous as God calls you to be to the church budget. But you still also need to be generous to your neighbor and to your friends and your family. It's fun being generous. And when you are generous, not you should give the extras you don't need, but when you give even more than that, that's fun. And God will bless that. As a royal, as a holy priest, you are offering sacrifices to God every time you're doing good and every time you are giving to others. Your time, if you give your time and your money and your affections, your energies. Same chapter, verse 9. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood. So a royal is the king. You're a priest to the king. Who's the king? King's Jesus. You know that. You're a royal priesthood. Still supposed to be a holy nation. And you're a royal priesthood so you can proclaim, which is tell. I am proclaiming right now. You're proclaiming too. You could do it on a street corner. Not too many people are going to listen to you. You could if you want to. But there's other ways to proclaim, to tell, to get the word out. Some of you do it on Some of you do it on Facebook. Some of you do it by email. Some of you do it by cards. A few of you do. Some of you do it on telephone. Some of you do it in person. Some of you do it by hospitality. Tell other people the excellencies of God, the one who called you out of darkness to light. Light can be life. Life without light. Jesus is the light of the world. Life without light can be very dark. That's what I wanted to say. It can be very dark. Without God, life is very dark. And some of you could say, you know, some of you could say that, I believe there is a God. Hey, you know, I believe there's a pew and I could sit on that pew, but I'm not sitting on it now, so it's not helping me at all. I know that pew could hold my weight, but I'm not sitting on it. There's a lot of people, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but they're not, it's up here. It's not down in their heart. They're not sitting, they're not resting, you're not following, you're not living, you're not enjoying Jesus. Just know that there's an entity. Well, good for you. Even the demons know, James says. And they quake. They're in awe of Jesus, nervous, fearful. Are you at least as good as the demons? If it doesn't even bother you to sin against God, you have to learn from the demons. You're not there quite yet. You don't even know who he is. But I'm saying, do you know him personally? Because if you don't know him personally, then the darkness of life just pours in on you. There's loneliness, there's fear, there's sadness. Many of us have struggled, some of us still struggle, with anger and self-centeredness and addictions to alcohol and drugs and food and gossip, and let's find all the other addictions that are video games and cell phones. There's people that couldn't put a cell phone down for 5 minutes if you give them $1,000. Addicted to gambling and addicted to music. Can't have a quiet minute. Hey, I don't know what your challenge is. I know what mine are. How do you get to the light? If you're in the dark, how do you get to the light? Jesus is the only answer. What he did on the cross is meant for us. You need to sit down and ask that sometime. Write in pastor@parable.org, and somebody will make an appointment to talk to you or call the church office, or you know how to reach an elder or me. Find how do you get in. I was in the light, but this I'm struggling so much. That's what you and I are called to do. We're called to be priests who learn the holiness of God. We learn the message of God, and we're called to show it, to proclaim it to others. Proclaim it by our lives and our words. Proclaim it by our life, because if you don't live this message, nobody cares to hear it. Proclaim it with your words, because if you say, I'm just going to play it safe, I'm just going to live it, I'm not going to actually talk to anybody, they'll never find it. They'll just think, oh, you live a different life because must be your mom made you do that or something. And you're in your mind saying, no, Jesus made me do it. But nobody knows if you seal your lips. You need to proclaim it, because that's what you're called. You, if you're a believer, are called to be a royal priest, proclaiming the gospel to other people. And so if you need that, I'm going to pray for you to find that. And if you have that, if you are born again, remember your calling. Remember your serious calling to be a holy priest, to be a royal priest, to learn God's character of holiness and purity, and let it impact your life so that you live that holiness and live that purity. Because the light has shone in your life. Now, I know and you know. Everything changes the instant you trust in Jesus. But then you live for a few days or a few weeks or a few months and you open another door to your life. The light shines in a corner and all of a sudden there's something. Oh, that has to change too. And so this happens week in, month out. When we finally get holiness into this portion of my life, then God, out of love, shows you another portion where he wants to make you enjoy him more and others enjoy you more. And so we're continually growing. Don't wait till you're perfect. That's not happening till you're dead. You know, share now with others the marvelous light. That's what you're supposed to do. Prayerfully proclaim that to others. And I want to pray that that happens, that those of you that don't know Jesus would let the light into your life. And we who do know Jesus would remember our very serious calling to be holy and royal priests, giving sacrifices to God and proclaiming to the world that needs it the light of Jesus. Let's pray. Our Lord God, we don't look down our noses at these priests who did such a poor job. They completely fouled it up. Because God, apart from our grace, that could be us too. I do pray for dear ones listening at this very moment that know about the light, but the light is never shown in their heart, that they don't know how to trust in Jesus. Help them to find your way. I pray for those of us, I thank you for sisters and brothers, young and old alike, who have the testimony that Jesus shone his light into your life, to my life. And now we thank you for this reminder from Malachi that we need to be better priests than those self-centered people that didn't have time for God. Help us to be holy priests. There's no joy in life apart from that. Help us to be like Levi, that we live life and we enjoy peace and that we find your truth and that when our lives are over, people could say that many found their way out of sin because of us. Each of us is going to do it a different way, perhaps. But Lord, help us to do it in the way you call us. I pray that might happen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.